good song selection and the singing service that we had, and thankful for all the ones that have come up this morning to help Sister Rachel and Brother Mark with the singing. You know, we were talking about a little in Sunday school this morning about the trials and tribulations and temptations that we face in this life. And you know, me and Satan, we've been having a little fight over the last month or so, and especially over the last week. And there's times that I just get so discouraged and downhearted. And we were talking about that in Sunday school, but you know, I like that song for that reason, because it reminds me that during the bad times of my life and in the valleys, He's just as much God as He is on the mountain. You know, there's an old song that says, we talk of faith when we're up on that mountain, but it's down in that valley when it's put to the test. And I praise the Lord that He's not only the God of the mountain, but He's the God of the valley as well. So praise the Lord this morning. Before we go further in this service, I wonder if anybody might have anything upon their hearts, a praise or a prayer request or anything they just feel like needs to be said or done this morning. Anything at all upon anybody's hearts.
I ask everyone to remember Chelsea and her new baby in prayer.
Lord help. Let's certainly remember this family in our prayers this morning. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts? God help. Let's certainly remember this. Anybody else? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yes, it'd certainly be prayerful for that. I got a text from Brother Daniel this morning before we left the house for service, and Brother Daniel said that Brother Danny wasn't feeling too well after this morning, and so let's be prayerful, continue to be prayerful for Brother Danny this morning. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts?
Remember my brother Gerald and his wife in prayer. Gerald's in critical care at Community South, and his wife had knee surgery Tuesday, so a lot of them are really rough right now. And just bring them in prayer so they can work together as a family.
Lord help. Lord help. Yes, I certainly do remember this. Anybody else? Anything at all you feel like needs to be said or done this morning? God bless. Certainly thankful for this praise this morning, and certainly do remember the family in prayer. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts? Yeah. Lord help. Anybody else? If not, then let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer at this time. Let's continue to be prayerful for the service this morning, that God would just be with us and would help us. Let's be mindful of the prayer requests that was made mention before us this morning. Many that are sick and afflicted, many that's not here with us for whatever reason, that God would just be with them and protect them until the next time we meet. But above all, let us be prayerful for those who are lost and separated from God. If nothing else needs to be said or done, Brother Dale, do you mind leading our hearts in a word of prayer this morning?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to Lord this morning, Lord.
Most kind, gracious, and all wise Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all your wonderful many blessings, God, that you've bestowed in our lives. And we're so thankful, Father God, Lord, to be here. And we're so thankful for all the members, Lord, of this church, Lord. And we're so thankful, God, for everything that you've given us, Lord. And we're so thankful, God, for the good week that you've allowed us to have. But, dear Lord, we are just thankful above all for the gift of salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you'll just please help us, Father God, to do thy will in all things. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask, Father God, that you would just bless the service this morning, Lord. Lord, with an outpouring of your Spirit, Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would just help us, Lord, if it be thy will that we should stand for a few moments of time, God. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask this morning, God, Lord, that you would continue to pass by, Lord. And we just ask above all that if there are any lost among us, God, that you would draw them unto you, Lord, and have them come to you with that broken heart and a contrite spirit, God. And just help us, Father God, today that we would just lift up the name of Jesus, God, and that you would increase, Lord, and that we would decrease. We ask, Father God, that you help the many prayer requests that I've made mention of this morning. So we just ask, God, that you would just take them into your arms, Lord, and help them out, Lord. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask this morning, God, Lord, that you'd be with the members, Lord, that's not with us for whatever reason, God, that you would be with them, comfort them, and protect them, Lord. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you continue to help Brother Danny, Lord, after his surgery, God, that you would just help him, Lord, and help him to have a quick and a healthy recovery, Lord. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you help the unspoken request, Lord, that was made mention of, Lord. Help the families, Lord, who lost loved ones this week, God. Lord, let your hand of comfort and peace would be upon them, Lord. Lord, just continue to help us, God, Lord. We can't do anything without you.
wonder at this time if anybody has anything upon their hearts they just feel like needs to be said or done. If not, then we'll go into that which the Lord has placed upon our hearts. And if you would, turn with us to the 11th chapter of the book of Acts. The 11th chapter of the book of Acts. And as far as I know, unless the Lord changes our heart and our thought, we'll just read the 23rd verse there. And I do want to remind everybody this morning, as we come this way, this is the Lord's service. And so if the Lord has placed anything upon your hearts to do or say, I beg you that you would do that. Because we've only come here this morning to please God. To lift up God. To lift up Jesus and nothing else. Anyways, in Acts chapter 11 and verse 23. Says, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. And I know I usually tell y'all the thought that God has placed on my heart before we dive into the message. But I don't necessarily have a thought. God just gave me a starting place, and that's just where we're going to go this morning, is that 23rd verse. Now, if we would back up a little bit, we would find that word had gotten to the church at Jerusalem about the church here and the people here at Antioch. And so we find that the church at Jerusalem, they had sent a man by the name of Barnabas to go and in any way that he could to assist the church at Antioch. Now, when Barnabas got there, as you read in your hearing, it said when he had got there and he had seen the grace of God, he was glad. He was glad for what he had seen among that group of people there, for what he saw working in them. You know, as I begin to dwell and meditate and pray on this verse, I start to think about what it is that he saw in them that made him glad. Maybe he saw that they had a sincere desire to follow God. Maybe he saw that they had a sincere desire to dig into His Word. Or maybe that he saw that the grace of God was just working in their life, that they couldn't keep the Word of God shut up in their bones. Folks, I tell you this morning, you know, there's times when I think about this verse and I think about Barnabas there. I've experienced that same gladness. Well, I think about the first time that we had came here to Friendship Church about 2 years ago. You know, I was glad to see a group of people in Columbus, Indiana, wanting to serve the Lord. I was glad to see a group of people wanting to dig in the Word. I was glad to see a group of people wanting the grace of God to work in their lives. And folks, we find that when Barnabas had saw the church and saw the grace of God, he said, he exhorted them, he encouraged them, he urged them, he had advised them that with the single purpose of their heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. You see, I tell you this. You know, I praise the Lord, you know, for allowing us to be up here. And I praise the Lord, oh, for the ones that we've been able to see grow in the Lord. The ones we've been able to see get on fire for God. The ones who had just recently gotten saved, oh God, just sparks a little fire within them. And you see the desire, the sincere desire within their hearts who want to be closer and to want to share what God done for them with everybody. Folks, if I could advise you, like Barnabas did there at the church this morning, if I could advise you, I want you to keep that desire burning deep within your heart. I don't care if you just got saved a week ago or if you got saved 80 years ago. Keep that desire in your heart. Keep that passion in your heart. And with the single most purpose, hold on to God. Hold on to Him. Now that word cleave means stick to or to glue to stay stuck to. Folks, I tell you know, Barnabas there, he had seen the grace of God working in this little church there at Antioch. He had seen that desire and he was glad for it. And he had told them that in the single most purpose, no matter what might come their way, no matter who might betray them, that they would just hold on to the Lord and that they'd continue fighting the fight of faith. Now, let me tell you, this morning, I've told y'all for the last little bit, it seems like, oh, and if I can just be honest with you this morning, it seems like for the last little bit, you know, Satan's just been on my doorstep, just in all honesty. It seems like when I go to bed here lately, I've just been wrestling and I've been tugging. It seems like when I wake up in the morning, that's the first thing that happens is I get in a little fight down deep within myself. And folks, let me tell you know, this walk that we have as God's people, it's not an easy walk. And I'll tell you this morning, don't let anybody fool you into telling you that it's all sunshine and rainbows, because it just ain't. Your life is going to happen. You're going to have your hardships. You're going to have your trials. You're going to have your tribulations. And folks, I tell you this morning, if you really desire to follow the Lord and you do that within every little aspect of your heart and your life, you will find that there will be people who will turn their back on you just like that. I've had it happen. And I can testify. When you try to please the Lord, man just ain't happy with it. I've had it to happen. I've had it to happen with family members. Whoever said family won't turn their back. Boy, I don't know if they tried to live for the Lord. But I've had it to happen. And folks, let me tell you, I'm not trying to say this to get you to go pity me, pity this, pity that. Don't get the wrong way. But I'm telling you this as an urge from the bottom of my heart. Even when it seems like the closest of people have turned their backs on you, you hold on to the Lord. Don't let Him go. He's the one who reached down from heaven and saved your soul in every single aspect. Friends and family might go aside. There might be some of God's people who throw you to the curb. But you know what? If I could encourage you this morning, hold on to the Lord. Stick to Him. Glue to Him. Let every bit of your thoughts and your action and your heart be consumed with nothing but God. Because I tell you this, God is the greatest paymaster of them all. Yes, hard times will come. And it seems like, you know, as long as I've been around church my whole life, churches just go through this little cycle where you're just on the mountaintop, then you're down in the valley, then you're back on the mountain, then you're down in the valley, then you're back on top, and you're back down. It just seems like that little cycle just happens, and it's a continuous cycle. And I tell you this, folks, I know when we're in the valley, and it seems like nobody really cares about the proclamation of the word of the Lord, and it seems like nobody cares about church. It seems like nobody cares about the work of God. Folks, I tell you this, don't worry about what they think. Don't worry about what people might do, but worry about the calling, the responsibility that God has placed in your life. Let me tell you, whether you believe it or not, if you've been saved by the grace of God, if you are a member of His church, whether you believe it or not, we have been called to work for the Lord. We have been called to serve the Lord. We have been called, you know, that this life, we should just know, that this life just doesn't mean anything, you know. And I tell you this, the more I grow closer to the Lord, the more that I learn that this life really has nothing to offer me. Just in all honesty, the world really has nothing to offer me. You know, and I know we've said this plenty of times, the world can offer your flesh something. It's called the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And folks, I tell you this morning, if you've been saved by the grace of God, we've got this constant battle between the inward man and the fleshly man. But folks, hold on to the Lord and ask Him that the flesh would just subject itself to the Spirit of God. Hold on to Him. Now, we read in Joshua 24. Joshua was talking to the people of Israel there. He was talking to them about their days out in the wilderness, their days out in captivity. And he would talk to them before they started moving forward. And he told those people, he said, choose you this day who you will serve. Whether it be God of the world, or be whether it be the true God, or whether it be the gods of this world that your fathers have served on the other side of the flood. Choose you this day. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Folks, before we start worrying about what other people are doing, before we start worrying about other members and their lives, we need to get our own selves in order. We need to get our own hearts right. Folks, I tell you, I know we've talked about, well, you know, this time of the year, it's usually time for us to get ready for our yearly June revival, and we push it back to October, and there's nothing wrong with that. Don't think that there is. There's nothing wrong with that. But I tell you this morning, if we want a revival within our church, among our people, it's got to start with us getting our own individual selves in the right place where God can use us. And then when we're right with God, then we can help, aid, and counsel others. But until then, go to your prayer closet and stay in there until it's all worked out with God. Well, we read. Y'all just bear with me this morning. Pray for me this morning. Please, if you would. You know, Charles Spurgeon said one time years ago, he said, the nicest thing that anybody can do for me is lift my name up to the Lord. And you know, the nicest thing you all could do for me would be lifting my name up to the Lord this morning. So just pray for me. I don't want Micah to get involved in this message. I want the Lord to be involved with it. I don't want my opinions to be preached. I want the Bible to be proclaimed and God to be lifted up. Pray for me this morning. But we read in 1 Samuel chapter 7 there that Samuel was talking. Well, let's go to 1 Chronicles, excuse me. 1 Chronicles there in chapter 28. And David there, he was talking to his son, Solomon. And you see, David, he wanted to build the Lord a temple that God could dwell in. And David, he had lusted after Bathsheba there and had murdered his own best friend. And we find that David wasn't able to do that. So the responsibility was to be passed down to his son Solomon. And so we find here that David, he was trying to encourage Solomon, instruct Solomon in any way that he could. And I believe he gave Solomon some mighty fine instruction. He read in 1 Chronicles 28 and 9, he said, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all the hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of thee. But if you forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." See, now I also want to talk a little bit about what David meant. If the Lord will be my helper, about what David meant there with the word, with when he said to serve the Lord with a perfect heart. That word perfect does not mean to be unblemished. Doesn't mean to have no fault in it. Because as we know, you and I will never be able to achieve a perfect state as long as we're in this mortal body. But I'll tell you what David meant by that word, that term, in the meaning of it. It's supposed to imply a wholeheartedness for God and a single-minded sincerity. It's a single-minded desire. You know, just like when Barnabas went to the church there and he said, with the single purpose of your heart. He didn't tell, you know, and I want us to look at that. He didn't tell the church the purposes of your heart. He said the purpose. He didn't use the plural form of it. He used the singular form. What was that individual purpose? That in all things you would dwell and walk with the Lord. Folks, let that be our single most purpose this morning. And not just this morning, but each and every day that God allows us to live in this life. That it would be for His honor and glory. Just like when Paul said in Romans chapter 10 about his heart's desire, he didn't use that plural form and end it with an S. He didn't say desires. He said, "My heart's desire is that all of Israel should be saved." You know, I know we often talk about priorities. And I want to let you know something. You might disagree, and that's okay. But it's not priorities. It's a priority. There's not multiple things in there. What you set as your priority is what you put on the forefront of your mind and your desire, and there's nothing else. So we can say we need to get our priorities straight all we want, but there's only one singular priority. And what is our priority? Is it, did we come to church this morning just so we can check off a box and say that we're here and I've had my Sunday morning devotion to God and just go back out in the world? Or did we come here so we can serve God, so we can hearken to the Word of God, and that we can do our very best to lift up Jesus before a lost and dying world so that those who are lost can be saved? Don't just check off a box on Sunday mornings. And I know sometimes we're dealing with this flesh, we just get in this little sluggish state where we're going to church means that we're just going to church for the motion. And let me tell you this morning, you can't say that that has not happened, because it's happened to me. You know, there's times that I'll get up. There's times I'll open up my Bible and try to study, and I'll just think to myself, well, I need to study for another sermon. I need to do this. I need to do that. There's times I think, well, I just need to go to church because I know it's right. Folks, let me tell you, but the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Not just with money, but with your time, your energy, your effort, your will, your desire. God loves a cheerful giver. That we would cheerfully devote our time to Him. Now, I want to say this. If we read further down there in the Acts of the Apostles, there in the 11th chapter, we read that after Barnabas had saw the church at Antioch there, he made his way back to fetch a man by the name of Saul. And he brought Saul back. And we read that they both sat down with the church at Antioch for a year. They would be with the church, and they tried to counsel the church. They tried to instruct the church about the things that they should do and the way that they would go. Folks, I want to tell you this morning, you know, our counsel, it doesn't need to come from the world, but our counsel should be backed up by the Word of God. And if it's not in this, you don't do it, you don't touch it, and you don't even look at it. The Word of God. What is it that Paul told Timothy there in the second letter that he wrote in the third chapter? He said that the Word of God, that the Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I read somewhere in another Bible commentary where that term inspired, they used the definition and the Greek definition where it said all Scripture is breathed out by God. Amen. Oh, and it sure is. There's not a spot nor blemish nor imperfection in the Word of God. It is breathed out by God. It is divinely inspired by God. And it is the tool that He has given us so that we can discipline ourselves, that we can look at ourselves and try to get our hearts right. And it's a way that we can look and try to hear Him talk to us. He said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's good for all these things. But he said that the men of God may be perfect. That the men of God could be complete. Because without God, we are nothing. That the men of God can be complete, that He can be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works.
Paul wrote to Titus there that the Christian should be able to maintain good works, not so people can see you and I, but that through our good works and in our lives, when they examine us, they would be able to see Jesus Christ. We read there in John 9, and I believe Brother Scott talked about that in Sunday school this morning, about when Jesus and his disciples were passing by and they saw a man that was blind from birth. And the disciples asked the question they to Jesus, and they said, "Master, who sinned? Who did sin? Who sinned? This man or his parents? That he was born blind. Who was in the wrong?" Jesus answered, "Neither. Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." It could be shown. Folks, I tell you this. Well, I know we talk about trials and tribulations, and we talk about times, well, maybe God's trying to tell me something. Maybe he's trying to get me to do this, get me to do that. Well, I want to tell you this morning, maybe he is, maybe he's not. Maybe you just need to talk it over with God yourself. But I do know for a fact that the end result of our life in everything that we do is that the work of God would be made manifest in us. That God would be shown. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Solomon, he was finishing up that book. Now let me tell you, usually people refer, what I've read, is that people refer to the book of Ecclesiastes as the book of vanity. How you find all throughout that the book, this is vanity, that is vanity. There's nothing new under the sun, it's vanity. What he was saying whenever he examined his, let me back up for a little bit. What he was saying was that in the second chapter, whenever he had told himself within his own heart that he should seek out the things that he would want to do, and he had all these wives, he had all these concubines, he had all his wisdom, he had everything in this life that he could afford. He had the big house, he had a nice plot of land, but folks, what he was saying was that all of that, all that this life is and it has to offer, whether it is our fleshly money or our goods, it is vanity. It is worthless. It does not amount to anything. Now, I'll tell you this, there ain't nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with going out and working and trying to provide a roof over your family's head, trying to pay bills, put clothes on your back, and put food on the table. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But there is something wrong when that becomes God in our life. There's something wrong when that becomes the top priority of our life. Because we read in the sixth chapter of 1 Timothy that Paul even said, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not evil, but the love for it is. But out of the love for it, uproots all wickedness. Let me tell you this. I've seen families, and my family was a part of it about 50, 60 years ago. Let me tell you, there ain't nothing about my life that's perfect. But I've seen families, and I've seen my own family sue one another because whoever passed away left behind a lot of money and nobody that they left it to. I saw them cause one another to go broker than broke. I've seen people, when they do that and they get themselves in that shape, they'll cause somebody else in their family to live off the side of the road. They don't care. Why? Because the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of money. And so we have, especially whenever I went my first semester in college there at Ball State Community College there in Gallatin, Tennessee, my one and only semester of college that I've ever attended. And I'm sure some of y'all could tell because I'm not that book smart. But there was a whole lot of people that I gathered myself with, a whole lot of friends that I graduated high school with. We would walk around the college campus, and everybody there would ask a question: what is the purpose of my life? What am I out to achieve? Some of them were going after these fancy degrees, where in that field they can make tons and tons and tons of money. But I tell you this, money is not the purpose of our life. It's just not. Once again, ain't nothing wrong with paying your bills and making sure you're clothed and fed, but it's not the purpose of our life. What is the purpose? Well, Solomon ended the book of Ecclesiastes by saying this: let us hear the conclusion of this matter. You fear God, you love the brotherhood, and you keep His commandments, because this is the whole duty of man. You reverence God, you love your brothers and your sisters, and you keep God's commandments. Let me tell you, I've been preaching for 8 years. I've been saved for about however old I am. I've been saved for about, I guess, 16, 17 years. I don't know. I had to ask Bethany last Sunday how old I was. But you know, there was the first little bit there in my walk with the Lord. I was on fire. I got cold. I got in the wrong group of people. People talk about all the time how Jesus sat with the sinners. But folks, I'm going to tell you this. Jesus had influence over those sinners. Those sinners didn't have influence over Jesus. I had a group of friends, they had influence over me, and I didn't have any influence over them. You find yourself in that position, you better get out. I'm being as honest as I can with you folks. But I tell you this, 16 years, I got cold. I asked the Lord to bring me closer to Him. And I want to tell you this, we can be as close to the Lord as we want. The only person stopping you is you. The Lord allowed me to get close to Him. I loved it. And I asked the Lord one other time. I said, God, let me be closer to You. He said, well, preach My word. I said, God, I don't want to be that close to You. I'm not trying to say that to be comical. I'm telling you that because that's my story. I got back in the habit of running from God until stuff had happened. I had lost some things I believe could have been prevented if I owned up to the call. Out of being scared for my life, I owned up to the call. In all honesty, I tell you this, the last 8 years that I've tried to preach and tried to pastor, I've had my share of trials, tribulations, heartaches, people turning their backs, but it's been the best 8 years of my life, because nothing is better than trying to serve God for the rest of your life. Nothing's better.
You will have all these turmoils to come, church. We will go through these cycles of being on the mountain and down in the valley. But I tell you this, God is the same God through it all. And with all the single purpose of your heart, you hold on to Him and nobody else. I'll read this and I'll be done. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. I'm going to read it so I don't mess it up. But Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. He said, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And I want to end you with that. I want to end with that this morning. I hope somebody got something out of it, but I pray above all that Jesus was lifted up. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song this morning.